Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So, it is the third Thursday on G's Power Hour, and that means it's Tech Thursday, and we are pleased to have Mr. Burton Kelso of Integral back with us, particularly because this month is National Cybersecurity Month. Welcome back, Burton. How you doing?
I'm doing good, G.
Glad to hear it. So, I know this is the month where... goodness gracious, so many things are probably falling into your lap right now, although they probably are anyway because of just the way people are, it seems like they're attacking tech lately. And, well, not just attacking tech, but also there's just a lot more going on with addressing how tech is being used with a lot of congressional-type hearings and whatnot, dealing with, certain social media platforms and whatnot. But tell me, with this being National Cybersecurity Month, what is the main focus for you and what should the main focus be for our listeners?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but National Cybersecurity Month has been going on since 2003. If you put that in perspective, we've been having issues with cybersecurity for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that fact recently and I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe cybercrime has been around that long. It just doesn't seem like that time has passed. But my focus this month and the whole focus with National Cybersecurity Month is just to keep people informed about all of the different cyber threats that are going on out there, and then also to how to protect themselves from cybersecurity threats. Because like technology, cybersecurity threats are always evolving because criminals are always constantly looking at ways to get people's information and their money. And I think it used to be, probably back in 2003, the big threat was identity theft. You know, someone would get a hold of your Social Security number and impersonate you. Now it's more of just the typical scam. And a lot of it is online-based because we live our lives online, except for maybe you, because I know you, you're very limited in what you do, and that's a good thing. But for most of us, you know, we do a lot online, and so it just makes it a lot easier for criminals to get our information and to scam us out of, you know, small or large amounts of money. So the whole idea is just to keep aware of all the different cyber threats, because it seems like they change from year to year. You know, there's always some new threat coming down the pipe.
Yeah. I mean, that is one way we don't want to evolve in our society is the constant changing and advancement of the criminalization of our society, you know, with our computers and stuff. So,
just think about it. When you think of, auto theft, I mean, it's the same, you know, it's the same method. You know, if you leave your car unlocked, obviously it's going to get, you're going to have items stolen out of it or it's going to get stolen. Home burglary, it's the same thing. It's, you know, as long as you keep your doors locked and have a loud animal, you're going to keep criminals away. It's the people that get caught slipping, and those are the ones that normally fall victims to home theft or auto theft. But with cybercrime, I mean, you just don't know. You don't know if you don't know where the threat's going to come from next. It's not like, well, you can always, you know, if you turn your computer off, you know, it used to be, well, criminals can't get in. But now that has all changed. It's just, you know, it's just all over the place. There's many different ways that criminals can get your information. And it's sometimes it's just not the end user's fault as far as, you know, why your data was stolen or your identity is stolen, because there's many parties at play with all of our information on the internet. You could have a, you know, you could suffer your own data breach, or a company that's storing your data could have a data breach. And so it just comes from different areas. So it's always important to stay informed.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question. I know we're getting away from it a little bit. We'll get back. But I wanted to ask you, are there people, or can people, not that I want to plant this seed out there, I really don't, but I've seen people from time to time, cars with, like, laptops, and it every now and then it makes me wonder, are they actually maybe hacking, are there people out there maybe hacking the information off of people's phones and whatnot as they pass by? Can that happen? Does that happen?
No. Like, back in 2003, it could, because never with phones, but with routers. That was back in the day where if you had a wireless router, chances were you didn't have a password. And people weren't necessarily hacking. They were just needed. It was before the rise of all the coffee shops where you could sit and utilize Wi-Fi. But it was a good bet 10 or 15 years ago. If you need Wi-Fi, you could just drive in a residential neighborhood and just hook onto someone's internet just to get access to it. Now, what people can do, which is still kind of occurring, is people can set up bogus hotspots where if someone was looking to get on the internet, then they would see a hotspot, then they would just automatically latch onto it because it was free, and not really think of the consequence. Bogus hotspots as much anymore, but, I mean, that just kind of shows you how cybercrime has evolved, because once the big tech companies figure out how to stop that cyber threat, then there's always something lurking around the corner as far as how criminals want to be able to access that.
It's something else you got to worry about, you know, and I was thinking about what you were talking about, because I know, like, sometimes when I go in and, you know, now I have, and maybe this is or is not a good thing, now I have it where, you know, I turn on my computer or my phone and my Wi-Fi automatically connects. Should we have that, or should we have it where we have to log in each time? Because I also noticed that when I pull this up and you see other networks in the neighborhood sometimes.
Oh, that's a good question, and it's funny because I'll address your first question first, which is, yes, you want your computer to automatically connect to your wireless internet. It's convenient, but at least you know that you're connecting to your Wi-Fi, because if someone set up another, well, it would, in a residential neighborhood, it would be a slim chance that someone would set up a bogus spy, and that would be considered like a man-in-the-middle attack. But remember, criminals are after money, and the technology to try to spoof or duplicate someone's wireless signal is a little bit complicated, but a criminal's not going to sit in some residential neighborhood trying to get into residential computers, because there's not a big gain. It would be, and it's kind of complicated, so it would be easier for me to call and scam you out of money rather than trying to duplicate your Wi-Fi, because chances are both individuals are going to fall for a scam where, you know, the tax person's calling, or, you know what I mean? Yeah, they'll fall for that as opposed to having to go in a neighborhood and figure out what your Wi-Fi is and figure out what the password is. And it's just a lot of work. It's easier to scam people than it is to actually do the cyber aspect of trying to duplicate all that stuff. But the other thing, that which is kind of funny, which people need to be educated on, is the simple fact that just because you see those other wireless networks in your neighborhood doesn't mean that other people can see you. It's just your computer and phones are just designed to see what's out there, and you can have the option of logging into those devices if you know what the password is. So that's not harmful. It's just it's showing what's out there.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of funny, and I can say this because none of our customers are around, but we have quite a few people that call, say, oh, my gosh, I can see all these wireless networks. Someone's trying to hack my device. I have to say, no, your computer or phone is just designed to be on the lookout for any Wi-Fi to give you flexibility to connect to whatever.
Okay. All right. So you sent a little information. You kind of talked about this. 99% of cybercrime occurs when people fall for scams. And scams, to me, are so sophisticated these days that there are some cases where it's hard to tell what is really a scam and what is legitimate.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing about it is cyber criminals, and I think the mindset is still that there are some kids in the basement just messing around with stuff, but you're talking about large criminal organizations that are overseas that really put all of that information together as far as social engineering, which is the act of criminals finding out what people will react to and then creating scams that on that. So, you know, the scams that you see, one of the biggest scams that you see right now is either the Best Buy scam, where people will call and say, hey, your service plan with Best Buy is about to expire and you need to renew it. Or they'll sometimes do the reverse, which is, well, we see on your credit card that you were charged for tech support with Best Buy, and we need to go ahead and get those charges off of your card. So people are like, well, of course, I don't want to be charged for something I'm not paying for. And so they voluntarily give up their credit card information, and it just tricks people into giving out their credit card information. So, but the other one would be the auto warranty scam. And there's another one that's real common.
Oh, goodness,
where people
gracious.
Will. I know. There's another one too where they'll call and say that that you have a subscription to Norton or McAfee that needs to be that you were charged for, and you know they want to give you a refund, and so you have to, or they give you a credit card, or you give out your credit card rather, and of course then they're able to make charges with it. So, I mean that's the mentality of the criminals out there, is that they're really focused on the human psyche, and they create scams that are really designed to have you fall victim for it.
Instead of using their powers for good.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
That's what I'm like. I always say, if you're smart enough to do bad stuff, how come you're not smart enough to do good stuff? You know, take those skills and use it for something better. Okay, so...
Right.
One of the things, and I'm glad you have this up there because I see it a lot, avoid using social media as a universal login. Yeah, I see a lot of cases where they will ask you, you know, do you want to use Facebook to log in? And I don't usually do it. I usually try to do it the old-fashioned way, but if it's something like I consider non-important, I may do it every now and then, but it's rare. But why do you say avoid using the social media as a universal login?
Oh, because what it essentially does is it creates it makes it so that all of your accounts have one login, meaning you're using one password for multiple accounts. It's convenient, but because basically you create a link between that website or that program, so where you can just log in using your Facebook credentials. But essentially it makes it where you're using one password for all of your online accounts, which is a no-no, because if cyber criminals get a hold of that, then they can use your password to log into all of your online accounts.
Okay.
So,
well, like I said,
yeah.
I was glad that you showed that because, yeah, I've always been reluctant. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of easy, but at the same time, yeah, that means that whatever's connected to that particular social media account, you know, you kind of give up access in a way. So anyway,
right.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to ask you what this, because I don't know what that means, 2FA. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. It is National Cybersecurity Month, and we're, you know, as always, trying to keep you, informed and safe with your tech. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Thursday, Tech Thursday, here on G's Power Hour, National Cybersecurity Month. We are talking about it with Burton Kelso of Integral. And you have, as one of the tips this month, always use 2FA when available. I have no clue what that means.
And that's why I wrote it that way, because I was hoping you would
be dumb.
Figure
Thank
it
you.
Out.
I'm willing to serve, Burton. That's what I'm here for.
Right. Now, 2FA stands for two-factor authentication, which is essentially making sure that your online accounts send you a text alert if someone unknown tries to log in. So the way it works is when you go to your favorite website, you put in your login credentials, and then once you put in your login credentials, it'll send a text message to your phone, or it'll email you, and then you just have to click on the verification link that it's you trying to log into the account. Now, under a lot of circumstances with the two-factor authentication, it's recommended that you use the phone method to verify as opposed to using an email, because
mm-hmm.
with email, it's easier for a cyber criminal to intercept your email rather than your phone number. So the chances are an online account, they're going to have your email address already. So they'll just be waiting for that authentication, and then they can log into your account. With your phone, the chances that they have access to the phone are less likely. So, you know, that's the preferred method if you set up two-factor authentication.
Great, something I can finally understand.
Right.
I'm glad you broke that down because I have found it to be annoying. I really have. Now that you've explained it, I'm on board with it. I truly understand it. But, yeah, it was annoying the heck out of me. I'm like, wait a minute, you already asked me for a password. Now you want me to go this extra step. You know, like, wait a minute, I'm on a time crunch here. But, like
mm-hmm.
I said, now that you've explained it, I understand. And I'm glad that you explained that we should do it via phone versus email, because I have done it a couple of times via email. I will not be doing that again. So
right.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, now the only thing, if you want to do it email, just make sure that it's a different email address than what your account is, because most online accounts, you're using your email to log in to your account. So if you're using the same email that you use to log into your online account, then that increases the chances where cyber criminals can actually intercept the authentication. Whereas with the phone, you know, if you do it via email, just make sure it's a different email address. That's key. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you. Yeah. Well, that made my whole day right there. Because, I mean, first of all, like I said, I'm glad you broke down what that meant, but also I'm glad of the advice, because I have seen that more and more. And just really, like I said, it was annoying, but now that you've explained it, I'm good to go with it. And
right.
Know the best way to do it. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. Okay.
Yep.
You've earned your pay.
But, yeah. Anyway. I was gonna mention one other thing too, but the main thing with National Cybersecurity Month, it should also be a reminder to people to kind of get their heads out of the sand when it comes to cybercrime. Because I think with a lot of things tech-related, most people think that cyber criminals aren't after them, that they don't have enough money. But for them, sometimes it's more of a method of just nickel and diming people as far as their financial information is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, $50 times, you know, 100,000 people or 200,000 people is a lot of money. And, I mean, these criminal networks work on a global scale. So it's not like they're just targeting local folks. I mean, they're targeting people on a global scale. Tech support
mm-hmm.
scams were that way. You know, any of those scams are working on a global level. So $50 here, $200 there, that's the way they operate. So, I mean, if you do have some money, or access to, say, a credit card or other financial means, I mean, criminals are after it. And then the other thing, too, your industry is heavily targeted with cyber criminal activity just because of the amount of money that are dealt in with real estate
mm-hmm.
transactions, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's what they're after. They're after big and small. They're after everybody. So I think everybody needs to beef up their cyber awareness and understand that threats come through, that when it comes to phone calls, every time someone calls, you don't have to answer your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with email. Just because an email shows up in your inbox doesn't mean that you have to respond to it. It's okay to delete, and it's okay to ignore phone messages just to make sure that you're staying safe. That, you know,
right.
It's funny how many people think that they've been quote-unquote hacked. I think the appropriate term now is that they've been scammed out of some money, not necessarily hacked, because the quote that I made as far as cybercrime is concerned is that it requires that 99% of it requires user interaction. It means that you, in order to get scammed, you have to click on that link in that email, or you have to respond to that phone message in order for them to get access to your information. You have to utilize strong passwords, or criminals are going to figure out what your password is and get into your online accounts. And you have to understand, too, with social media, because I know there's people that claim they get hacked, like on social media, and it's just basically criminals making a duplicate account of your social media account so that they can trick your friends and get access to their information and their money. So it's a lot of it is just educating yourselves and realizing where threats are coming from and how you need to counteract those threats.
Good to know. Real good to know. So the other thing that you were talking, goodness, of course, my computer wants to get stuck. I'll go back to that. I do want to ask you about the whole Facebook thing. You know, it went down with, what was it, Instagram and what's the other one? WhatsApp, I think, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, oh, okay, I know what it was before we get to the Facebook, because we need to go into that. Paraphrases instead of passwords. Talk a little bit about that. And I have tried to gravitate more toward that. So.
Yeah, so a password, you know, words that you would use to create a password. So maybe you would create a passphrase at for a password like Sticky Coffee Cup 2020 or Grumpy Grandma 86 or Passionate Reindeer 27. So those are examples of passphrases which meet the criteria for creating a strong password, but the challenge is most people use passwords that will gravitate towards things in their life, in their personal life. So many of your average passwords you could definitely find on looking at someone's social media account. So people will use kids' birth dates or their birth dates or anniversary dates for passwords. So when you use a passphrase, it's really, you try to use ones that are not really tied to you personally. So that way cyber criminals have a harder time of figuring out what your password is.
Okay. So can you give an example?
Of a passphrase?
Yeah, a password versus a passphrase. Let's say Walmart. Let's just use that as an example. Passphrase versus a password.
Well, that would be horrible if you just used Walmart. But let's say if you were trying to log into the Walmart site and then you put like, let's say you put 1025, 65 for a password. And then obviously when your birthday comes rolling around, then people are going to figure out what your password is. But like if you wanted to use a passphrase, those would be like the words I used earlier, like Grumpy Grandma 25 or Purple Reindeer 68. Those phrases are examples of passphrases. So that way those are a lot harder to figure out because the last thing you're going to think about is a purple reindeer. Because number one, there really isn't any purple reindeer or like purple lion or yellow. I'm trying to think of another one, like yellow hippo.
I'm just asking, so you wouldn't want to use for a passphrase going shopping?
No.
Too close to the actual thing that you're doing? Is that what it is?
Well, for Walmart, yeah, you wouldn't want to use going shopping as a password because obviously you're going to go shopping at Walmart at some point. But for Walmart, you would use like Prickly Apple 64 or something like that. So nothing obvious as far as passwords. I mean, you wouldn't want to use a passphrase like a nursery rhyme or known Bible verses, like someone may put in John 3:16. Well, that's going to be easy to figure out because everyone kind of knows that Bible verse or, 23rd Psalms. I mean, it's got the right combination of letters and numbers, but, I mean, a criminal is going to figure that out in like 4 seconds. So you want the hard-to-guess ones.
Okay, good to know. Okay, so let's go on and talk about the Facebook outage.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting because it was an internal issue with Facebook when that happened a couple of weeks ago. People were thinking that it was cyber criminals that got into Facebook. I mean, because today's age, if something goes down, especially a social media site the size of Facebook, people think that it's automatically a hack. But it wasn't in this instance. There were some changes that were made internally on a Facebook router, and it took the whole social media network down. But, I mean, this we could talk about for hours. But, the implications with Facebook going down was huge because, number one, Facebook owns two other social media applications, Instagram, which obviously a lot of small businesses use to communicate with customers, and then WhatsApp, which someone posted online. All of Latin America is dependent on WhatsApp. And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But it's
wow.
If you think about it, just for the simple fact that a lot of people of Latin descent, and I can't say that it's the Latin descent social media app, but many people rely on WhatsApp for phone communication just because you have people that have immigrated here from different Latin countries, sorry, and they use WhatsApp to communicate with their loved ones back home because it's cheap. So I don't blame them, Yeah.
And the funny part about it was, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was on the show, and I was trying to post something onto Facebook, and I thought it was me the whole time. I did not realize that it had gone down, because one of the reasons I got Facebook was because of the show, to promote the show, to communicate with Princess during the show, and to promote, you know, topics that we talk about and other daily pieces of news that I find interesting. And so, but that's basically all of the reason that I'm on Facebook is because of the show. So when it went down, I didn't realize it had gone down. I'm like, okay, what's going on with my computer? What's happening? Something's wrong with the internet, whatever, not knowing, not realizing that it was a Facebook issue nationwide. So that's very interesting. And it shows just how dependent people have gotten on Facebook.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's the big issue that we need to talk about, because with Facebook owning two other social media networks, I mean, they definitely need to do a little bit more due diligence as far as making sure the network is up, where it doesn't take down all three. Because, I mean, truth be told, for their internal network, they really should have three different servers for all of those platforms. So, like, if Facebook goes down, then you still should be able to have access to Instagram or WhatsApp. It shouldn't be a system where if one goes down, then they all go down. And I think one of the analogies they use for a lot of internet-based products is a lot of it is held together by chewing gum and chicken wire. I mean, it's just kind of spliced together. And to be honest, it's almost a miracle that it actually works. So there has to be a better way to set up their infrastructure so it doesn't take it down. Now, I mean, Facebook's really not obligated to anybody because it's a free social media network, but we have become so dependent on it that, you know, essentially some business is down if the network goes down, you know?
Right. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Burton Kelso of Integral, talking about cybersecurity as it is National Cybersecurity Month. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is National Cybersecurity Month, and we are here talking about how to stay cyber safe with Burton Kelso of Integral. And we were talking about Facebook and the Facebook outage that recently occurred, and just wanted to you just got through mentioning about, you know, Facebook and, you know, when it shut down Facebook, it also shut down Instagram and WhatsApp. And actually, that has been the thing that I've always talked to you about, that I've asked you about putting all your eggs in one basket, so to speak, about things going to the cloud and what happens with the cloud and all that kind of stuff. So with this happening, is this kind of something that similar that could happen elsewhere?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now.
I think that's Princess's fault, you know.
Don't blame Princess though, so she can take out the whole show.
She might smote us.
Yeah. Okay. So, getting back to my question, before we took off the podcast cod. Anyway, Facebook, what happened to Facebook? How likely is that to happen in other, you know, other social media and in other aspects of putting our information out where we can't necessarily control it?
I mean, it can happen at any time to any cloud service. I mean, it can be taken down by criminals. You know, the servers can fail. But under most circumstances, most cloud products have redundancy as far as their servers across the Internet. So if something happened to one server, then another server would pop up and take its place, and you would never realize there is an outage. So usually for one website, you know, there's probably at least, and this could be an underestimate because I'm only guessing because each network is different, but you would probably have 10 or 12, that's minimum, servers that would be in place for redundancy. Because the rule with any cloud-based service would be redundancy. Because, I mean, you understand that at some point something's going to happen and you need to be up and running and you need to have backup. Because back when National Cybersecurity Month started back in 2003, a lot of companies were hosting their email services in-house. So, of course, if the company server went down, then, I mean, you would be out of email. So that's when you started to see more of a rise of people using GoDaddy and going to cloud-based emails such as Yahoo or staying with AOL or even going with, like, Gmail and some of the other services out there because your theory was is that your email was going to be up and running all the time rather than you just had one computer to post your email. So, I mean, the chances are pretty slim for something just to be wiped out. But I know what you're getting at as far as storing your stuff on the cloud. And the idea is that, yes, it's good that you have information on the cloud, but at the same time, you really do need to have localized storage of your information. So, you know, from an IT standpoint, you need to have, you can back up your stuff to the cloud, but you also need to have a local backup of your information too. So if something catastrophic happens, you can always have access to your data. So, I mean, that's true. I mean, that's the quick of it, but you know, for most websites, you're going to have redundancy as far as your files are concerned, as far as the servers. So you shouldn't have to worry about it going down. But
we got a couple other things. What's that?
I was going to say, on another point, too, to kind of emphasize what you were talking about as far as the reliance on social media, this is kind of a social media tip for small businesses, but one of the things that you're supposed to be doing with your social media accounts is trying to drive people to your website or at least get their email so that you do have a way to communicate with them in case a social media site goes down. So most people,
because a lot of people are using their Facebook sites as their business website,
not exactly
driving them to another site. So that's a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah, and the other thing too, this is kind of off of the beaten path with social media. Even your email address, you're really, you know, if you're in business, you need to have your own company domain rather than using one of the free email sites because those sites are a little bit more accessible to cyber criminals as opposed to your domain. Like, for example, I've got the burtonkelso.com website, and, I mean, it can be found with a quick Google search, but if criminals aren't going to target my website because there's only one person that you're going to target with a data scam. You know, criminals are going to say, oh, well, heck, all we're going to do is send an email to Burton. Whereas with a Google or a Yahoo address, they've got access to millions of people that they could scam. And so your email scams are going to come through your free email services as opposed to just your actual domain. Because they do research and they'll look to see how large a company is before they decide, if they're going to send out a scam email. So like with Integral, it doesn't look like a large company, so they're not going to send out the scam emails like they would to, say, someone working at Amazon or someone working for a government website, because you've got potential to try to scam, you know, thousands, if not millions of people with that site. So it really, this whole Facebook outage should be a wake-up call to a lot of small businesses is how they operate. Maybe you don't operate, maybe you don't operate solely on Facebook or WhatsApp or Instagram. You've got to find a different way or multiple ways in order to stay in contact with potential or current customers.
Yeah. There's so many other questions I want to ask you about that, but that you brought up that I'll get to another time, because we've got a couple other things we've got to quickly get to. Let's talk Windows 11.
Oh, yeah. And that's a quick one. You don't have to get it. And if you're a Windows user, if you go, you said yay.
Sorry.
That's fine. But, yeah, if you go to your Windows Update panel in Windows, people are starting to see a little alert that will say, hey, you can download Windows 11 now. But the gist of it is that if you've got an older computer, it's not going to work. I think this is Microsoft's ploy with some of the hardware manufacturers out there to get people to go out and purchase new computers. Because Windows 10 will work on Windows 10 will work on a computer that's 10 years old. So if that's the case, then you're really not inclined to go out and purchase a new computer. But with Windows 11, if you are one of those people that wants to keep up with the Joneses, then you get that prompt that says, hey, you can't update your computer, then you're going to be like, well, heck, I need to go out and get a new computer to stay current. But Windows 10 will be still supported through at least 2025, if not longer. So there's no rush to get Windows 11. So, yeah, if you see those, you know, if you see those alerts for Windows 11, it's not like you're going to benefit anything by getting it, nor do you have to, you know, nor do you have to go out and get a new computer to keep, you know, if you're worried about if you're not going to be supported, Windows 10 is still going to be supported.
Good. Is there any major benefit to having Windows 11 versus 10? I guess that's the main question.
No, there's no benefits at all. I mean, there's some key features built into it, but it's all about features. It's not necessarily about, you know, what you're going to get as far as benefits. It's going to make your computer work better. It's just, you know, it's just got features in there that you could probably
bells and whistles.
And of course, it looks a little different too. So,
we'll see.
But yeah, there's nothing out there that's like, oh yeah, you really need to get it because it's going to have this benefit to your life.
Okay. Ooh, I got to ask you about some other stuff. The more you talk, the more things I got to make a list. Santa, Cyber Santa. Anyway,
I wanted to throw this out real quick. So looking at Microsoft's site. It says, ready to elevate to Windows 11. There's never been a better time to purchase a new PC. So, I mean, again, I think that's the focus. Not like, well, we really needed to add this stuff in. We really want you to go out and buy a new computer. I mean, so.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think that's Microsoft's goal.
Nah, people are dealing with, like, eviction moratoriums ending and all types of stuff. The computer is not at the top of the list. Sorry. So.
Right.
VOIP ransomware attacks. What is this?
This is what I think you dealt with Williams-Sonoma. So this is a new, remember how I talked about cyber threats are always emerging? So VOIP stands for voice over IP, or sometimes it's shortened as VOIP. But voice over IP is basically a phone system that works over the internet. So more companies are moving to voice over IP because it's easier to set up and maintain, because all you're doing is plugging a phone into like a router, and then that phone has access to the internet. Or use a good example of voice over IP would be WhatsApp. or WhatsApp just needs access to the internet, whether it be through your computer or through your phone, and then you can communicate with anyone in the world. And for companies, voice over IP is nice because you don't have to have one of those clunky PBX systems in your business.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty much plug and play. Now, the problem with that is voice over IP companies are starting to become under attack from cyber criminals because they use a method to slow down or disable the voice over IP network called DDoS, or directed denial of service. So what criminals do is they send a lot of programs to cause a traffic jam with the voice over IP system. And then, of course, the phones don't work because there's so much traffic on the internet, the main server just can't keep up. So you were saying that the phones at Williams-Sonoma went down and they never came back up, right?
I guess I wasn't supposed to say anything about that, but yeah. yes. yeah, but I mean, yeah, it did. It did. One night, you know, it's like, it's so quiet. Lots of things, you know, no callers, no complaints. And sure enough, I think, I don't know, well, I guess I better not say who their phone system is, but whoever they have their phone system with, it apparently had gone down and, did not, you know, we stayed on it for a while, you know, chatting in teams. You know, and then finally they said, okay, y'all can clock out now because it's not going to come back up. So
yeah.
I don't know if that was, you know, just, you know, because the work, just doing the work from home call center type of stuff, you know, there's just so much technology involved with it, you know, in terms of programs that are used and all types of stuff that, you know, and then people placing orders either through you or they're placing it online through their online accounts or whatever. So, it's you know, the Tech Reliant, especially after COVID, because they unfortunately ended up closing down a lot of stores, you know. So a lot of people, you know, the regular customers are attempting to try to buy stuff online. And so there's so much reliance now, you know, trying to track packages. That's a whole other thing. That's not necessarily cyber related, but there is a component of it, you know, with the shipping and stuff. It took us out. Yeah,
and it could have been a ransomware based voice over IP attack. And the bad thing about that, if that happens to your phone system, only thing you can do is pay the ransom to stop the traffic from coming in, because if that happened in Canada a few weeks ago, and it happened a couple of weeks ago here in the U.S. But those are the big threats that are coming through. Like I said, cyber criminals are always looking for new ways, and so it's easy to do a direct denial of service attack, meaning that you just send all these malicious programs to cause a traffic jam. And of course, if the voice over IP company wants to, if they want to get back up and running for their customers, sometimes their only method is to pay the ransom, you know? When they offer service, you know?
And there's nothing as of now that is, you know, that blocks that, or is there any type of preventative measure against that?
Well, the challenge is that, I mean, network traffic's going to come into a server regardless, and traffic can come and go at any time. And so, of course, when you go to a website when it's running slow, it just means there's a lot of people on it. Like if you were shopping during the Christmas holiday season, certain websites may be slow because there's just so much traffic. Same thing with the airlines. If you make an airline reservation, there's just so much traffic and not much that you can do other than to hopefully bring another server online to handle the traffic. But with the direct denial of service attack, then no, there's nothing you can do because there's just so much traffic that comes in all at once. It's like an avalanche or a tsunami of internet traffic mm-hmm. that just slows your network down. So you can try to clear out that traffic from those malicious programs, but a lot of times there's nothing you can do.
Mm. Well, we only got a couple minutes left, Burton. So what would you say that it would be the major tip for this month or tips for this month for our listeners to try to, you know,
just
keep their...
to make sure that you really educate yourself as far as cyber criminal stuff and always ask questions whenever there's something suspicious that comes up. A lot of people try to do things on their own, but, I mean, there's nothing wrong with reaching out to an IT professional to verify that what you're looking at is legitimate or if it's a scam. So don't think it can't happen to you because it can, but at the same time, if you get stuck, don't be too proud to ask for help because I know a lot of people, if they fall for a scam, they feel ashamed. If they don't know something, they feel ashamed, but in this day and age, it's better to be safe than sorry and to reach out and get help whenever you need it.
And there's always Burton. And how do we find you, sir?
I'm all over the – I was going to say on Facebook, but no, I'm all over the internet. You can go to – I'll go there.
See?
But, yeah, you can find me at burtonkelso.com and reach out if you have any tech questions.
Okay. Thanks again, and yeah, I suspect next month we'll be getting into the hot topic of tech for the holidays, since you kind of alluded to it already. Yeah, we'll probably be getting into that, and there's a few other things, so I look forward to us talking again next month. But thank you so much for your time again this month. Really appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
No problem. No problem, G.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care. Thank you.